This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Welcome back, everyone. Nice to have you here. Our conversation today is about sherry. And I have my wonderful friend, Irina, who is a sherry educator, sharing all her knowledge about sherry. That was a lot of sherry in this one sentence. But yes, in the first part, we have learned where the sherry comes from the town of Jerez, the grapes that are used for the production, and we are diving into the styles of the sherry. Thank you, Irina, so much. This is very informative. This is actually making it easier to understand the drink, you know, when you go to the store and you see the varieties of sherries. So now we know that Fino and Manzanilla are completely dry sherry wines. And we also learned about the process, which is also very exciting. All right. So thank you so much. Now, are we ready to go to the next style of the sherry?
Yes. So the Fino and Manzanilla are the lightest styles of sherry. If the winemaker deems the base wine to be more robust, it will go into oxidative aging. And what that means is they will prevent that yeast from growing on the surface of the wine by fortifying it to 17 or 18% alcohol by adding grape spirit up to the level of 17 to 18%. So that prevents any kind of biological growth on the wine, but the wine is still put in the same type of barrel, and still there's some room left for the air to be there. So the wine will be exposed to oxygen, and it will gradually darken because it is going to oxidize. So it will develop those aromas of oxidation, which will make it very nutty, a lot of aromas of dried fruits, figs, raisins, oxidation, right? Mm-hmm. And the wine is going to be darker in color because of that oxidation. And that style is called Oloroso.
Oloroso. I'm taking notes.
Yes. So it will not be as pungent. It will have a rounder mouthfeel because the yeast does not consume the glycerin. And it will be a more full-bodied wine and higher in alcohol as well. So typical Oloroso would be between 18 and 20% alcohol eventually. Mm-hmm. And then there is an in-between style, which is called Amontillado, which begins its life as a Fino. So it ages under that film of yeast for several years. And then later when the yeast dies, because it will die after several years, it goes into the oxidative aging. And it ages for several years without that protection, so it oxidizes. So that has features of both. It will have some pungency of the Fino and at the same time oxidation aromas, so the dry fruit, the nuttiness, and oakiness of the Oloroso. So it's an in-between style.
Wow. I wanted to ask you, I think maybe it would be better to talk about the aging now while we're talking about each style rather than leave it at the end so that it's not, so that we can remember. So how long, you said several years, how long is Fino or Manzanilla aged in oak barrel before it's bottled?
Sherry does have a unique aging process, which is called Solera. So sherry is rarely, extremely rarely has a vintage because what this aging process does is it continuously and consistently mixes the new wine with the old wine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you imagine several rows of barrels, and let's say the oldest wine is in the bottom row of barrels, so they withdraw some wine and bottle it.
Mm-hmm. Like a pyramid, right?
If you imagine
barrels in a pyramid. Okay.
Yeah, so you take wine from the oldest row of barrels, which is called the solera, from sol, floor in Spanish. And so you have some room in the you have some room in those barrels. What you do is you take them from the next youngest row of barrels. You take some wine and refill those oldest barrels. And then you have some room in the second row of barrels, and you refill it from the next youngest row of barrels. And that goes all the way up to the new wine. So the new wine goes into the barrels that already have some wine that had been aging.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, the old wine that is already in the barrels gives the new wine the new wine characteristics of that older wine. So the older the Solera is, the more valuable it is. So if you think that the Solera was established, let's say, in 1900, it means that there's a tiny bit of wine left from 1900, right, that is going to go into every bottle of the cherry.
Amazing. How much do they extract from each barrel? Is it like
so it depends. Yes, mm-hmm. There are limits on how much you can extract. If we're talking fino, they can extract, I think, up to a third a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that your average approximate age of your young fino will be about 3 years. They withdraw a third, right? It takes about 3 years for the wine to make it from the top level of the Solera to the bottom level of the Solera. So about 3 years for a fino. It will be longer for the Amontillado, maybe 7 years, because it has to be fino first and then oxidative aging second.
Mm-hmm.
There are sherries that have certified age. So sometimes you will see on the label 30 years of age, which means that they cannot withdraw more than 1/30th from the barrel in a given year. So it will take 30 years approximately for the wine to get from the top level of the Solera to the bottom.
Amazing, amazing. I mean, the cellar master must be like, they have to keep the log with everything coming in and out. It's so involved, but it's amazing.
Yes,
that's why the drink
course.
Is amazing. All right, let's move on to the next style, because we have about 10 to 12 minutes, and I would like you to talk about them, and then also food pairing too, because I mean, I can go into the details to get really geeky and ask you many questions, but we're going to
Let's do that. Let's talk about the sweet styles. We talked about the dry styles. That's the basic. And then we have the sweet styles, which are minor production. I mean, remember, only about 2% of the plantings are to the grapes that make the sweet wines, but they're delicious. So Moscatel and Pedro Ximénez, both grapes that accumulate a lot of sugar, so they're good for sweet wine production. So what happens to those grapes after harvest, they're actually put out on straw mats and dried for between 10 to 14 days to concentrate the sugars. So the water is going to evaporate from the grapes, and they're basically turning into raisins. And the wine is then made from the raisins, basically. And those wines are fortified while they're still sweet, because you cannot ferment those wines to dryness. They're too sweet. So they will be fortified, and there will be residual sugar left. Pedro Ximénez is typically sweeter than the Moscatel. So Pedro Ximénez, it's not unusual to have a wine that is, let's say, 500 grams of sugar per liter. So half of the wine is basically sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But they're extremely complex and delicious and very dark in color, because you have oxidation, the raisins turn brown, right? So the wines will be very dark, and especially Pedro Ximénez will be very, very dark, dark mahogany. You do not see through that wine, and people mistakenly think it's a red wine, but it is a white wine, even though it is a dark mahogany in color.
It is very delicious. And you mentioned that only 2% is made into the sweeter sherry, compared to the most of it is dry, but most of the people know sherry because it's a sweet wine. This is
what they know is, however, a different, there's another intermediate style of sherry. There are sweetened styles, and that's what people know of. People think about Bristol, Harvey's Bristol cream sherry, a blue
cream
bottle.
Cream sherry, that's right.
That is cream sherry, but that is made differently. That is made from dry sherry, blended with sweet wine, blended with sweet sherry, basically.
Is it also from Jerez?
Yes, it is. No, it is, but that style is made by blending dry and sweet wine. but yes, also in FedEx.
So that's the cheaper and quicker version of bypassing all the other processes to just make less expensive wine, or it's just a different style?
It's just a different style. I would not say that it's necessarily cheaper than other types of sherry. It's just a different style. It's less sweet than Moscatel and Pedro Ximénez, and it is not dry like the basic types of sherry. And it has its uses, food pairing or otherwise.
Baking,
but... Well, I even have nothing against Harvey's Bristol cream. It's very correct. Yes, it is produced in large quantities, but there are more interesting cream sherries than Harvey's Bristol cream if you're willing to try them out.
Absolutely. So, which brings me to the next two questions. How to buy sherry? You know, how you go to the store? I mean, now that we know, and I took notes, and you know, if the listeners, if you haven't had a chance, you can go back and re-listen and maybe take notes before you go next time to the store. Or you can also message Irina on her Instagram or Facebook, Irina Panamarenko, for the further questions. But so you go to the store, and well, let me backtrack. Let's figure out what food it pairs with, and then we will send them to the store to get some sherry to have it with their food. Let's do that instead.
Okay. Yes. So sherry, you can find a sherry for anything that you're eating, basically. There's a style of sherry that's going to fit any course of your meal. If you're thinking aperitif, depends on where you come from. A lot of Europeans actually drink sweet aperitif, and a pale cream sherry would work beautifully for that. Or you can try a dry sherry, a fino or a manzanilla, as an aperitif. And also fino or manzanilla, remember I said it's an excellent food pairing wine. It goes with a lot of seafood. All kinds of seafood go with fino or manzanilla because of its, you know, that sea breeze aromas, that iodine, and it goes very well with all kinds of shellfish, salted fish, even like anchovies will go with that. Anything that is brined or salted or pickled, like olives, one of the few wines that will go with olives, or what else? Anything pickled or salted fish is perfect for that. Vegetables will go with those wines. So appetizers, that's a perfect appetizer wine or an aperitif wine, fino or manzanilla. Anything that is meaty, that has meat in it, will go with an oloroso. So any, you know, any beef, pork, chicken, game, that will go perfectly with an oloroso. Mature cheeses go with an oloroso perfectly. Anything that has nuts, because those wines that have gone under have undergone oxidative aging have a lot of nutty aromas. Anything with nuts, it's perfect. Amontillado, remember, it has the characteristics of both the pungency of the fino and the nuttiness of the oloroso. So it can go with some robust fish like tuna, but also meats and cheeses, and let's say roast chicken would be a perfect wine for that. And then when we get into the sweet styles, depending on how sweet your dessert is, you have a range of sherries to choose from the cream to Moscatel or Pedro Ximénez. Pedro Ximénez might be too intense to have with anything that's already sweet. It just will be too much. I really love that thick, unctuous, syrupy Pedro Ximénez with something savory like a blue cheese, like a Roquefort, or there are Spanish blue cheeses, which will be even better. Or even pour some Pedro Ximénez on vanilla ice cream. That's just a perfect combination.
That sounds so good. That sounds delicious. I mean, I just was, as you were talking about wine and I mean, the food and the pairing, I was just imagining, okay, Sunday early dinner, and I was going through the menu, okay, olives as appetizers and etc. So you can just have a fun sherry day with, you know, going to pairing all your meals with different sherry wines and have an amazing time. Invite your friends, share your knowledge, and celebrate life.
Yes, I love cherry. Oh, my favorite combination. I forget. Iberico ham, which is an aged ham from Spain, with an oloroso. It's just beautiful.
That sounds good. So where can our listeners find a good variety of sherry in LA? Or I mean you can always search it online, etc. But in LA, is there a good place where they can go and find all the styles that we talked about?
It can be difficult to find all the styles in one place. And it is unfortunate that over the course of the 20th century, sherry fell out of popularity so much, and fortified wine in general. But there are certainly places in LA that you can buy sherry. K&L comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I saw some interesting sherries at Mission Wines.
Mm-hmm.
Where else? Winehouse does have
so specialized wine
shops. Yeah, you'd have to go to specialty wine shops. Supermarkets are not likely to carry anything beyond Harvest Bristol Cream.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, well, I wanted to thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. Always very educational, informative, and easy to digest information that comes from you. I love it. I love sherry. I love the subject, talking about it, thinking, outside of the standard wines that you can pair with your food. It's always exciting to try something new, to share it with your friends. Before we say goodbye, what is another fact that we have missed about sherry that we can add, something fun that for our listeners? That you can think of.
You caught me by surprise. Interesting fact about sherry. I just love sherry. I think it is one of the most versatile wines. And just think three grapes, but you have about a dozen wine styles that can serve any occasion. So I think your listeners should give sherry a chance.
Absolutely. Just like you said, just three grapes. And so much confusion before listening to this topic because, with these three grapes, with all the aging, with et cetera, there can be so many variations and so many things done differently. But you have basically put all that information and outlined, and I took notes, just like I mentioned earlier, so to make things easy. I can't wait to try. We are actually going to, I mentioned this earlier, Irina, we are going to do a live Instagram live or Facebook live where we will be tasting and talking more about sherry. So for everyone who is interested, you can follow myself or Irina on our social media to stay tuned when we're going to do it. And it's going to be fun. And for any other questions, always feel free to reach out. Thanks again. This was a wonderful conversation. Thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you for having me.
Until next time.
This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.